Yo, fellow hunters. This is Stephen Kendis, author of Hunting the First Date, and welcome to our inaugural Hunting the First Date podcast. For those of you who don't know what inaugural means, that means the first. So really, this is our first podcast related to Hunting the First Date. And, you know, we thought for a while about what to name this podcast. And really, it just makes sense that we talk about Hunting the First Date, because that is the name of my book, and it's most familiar to people. But the other thing is, I just want everybody to realize that what we discuss here really doesn't strictly pertain to Delaware hunting. True, some of the topics that we discuss will be Delaware specific, but really, a lot of the topics that we discuss will also apply to the East Coast and the Mid-Atlantic region, which includes Delaware, Maryland, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, perhaps. So I don't want people to be discouraged that some of the things you hear on our show may not pertain to you or may not be of interest to you, but really it's quite the contrary. I think a lot of topics we discuss will be useful to everyone who listens and everyone who enjoys the outdoors and the outdoor sports, especially hunting and fishing. So what we want to talk about today, really the first topic on the Hunting the First Date podcast, we want to talk about the new snow goose hunting regulations that were recently passed by the federal government. Now, I do have a press release here on my computer somewhere, so why don't you go ahead and bear with me as I pull this thing up. We're not going to have any secrets here or pull any punches. I'm going to actually look things up as I have you on the line here. So I'm going to my blog, which is www.eastcoasthunting.blogspot.com. Now, that's my blog, and the most recent post is, "Snow goose breast over rice, anyone? Delaware Division of Fish and Wildlife expands snow goose hunting season." So I've heard rumors that this was going to happen for the past couple years, and I think the state and federal governments kicked this around, and they finally made a decision here. And I first read about this maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago when the state of New Jersey enacted a similar regulation. But I will go ahead and read to you now what the Delaware Department of Natural Resources put out in a press release last week. Okay, "The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service recently published new regulations authorizing the Delaware Division of Fish and Wildlife to allow expanded hunting methods for harvesting snow geese during the 2008-2009 season, as well as creating a snow goose conservation order that allows hunters to harvest snow geese beyond the established season. Snow goose populations have reached levels that are now causing extensive damage to their breeding grounds in the Canadian Arctic, as well as the wetlands and agricultural areas where they overwinter in the Mid-Atlantic, including Delaware. The United States Fish and Wildlife Service has taken these actions to reduce and stabilize snow goose population by over 50% between now and 2013. Beginning January 28, 2009, and continuing through the end of the established snow goose season on March 9, 2009, hunters will be able to pursue snow geese using unplugged shotguns and electronic calls. During this time, all other hunting regulations pertaining to shooting hours, hunting days, which are Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays only, and bag limits remain unchanged and in effect. The use of unplugged shotguns and electronic calls are permitted only during the specific regular season and may be employed only when all other waterfowl seasons except snow goose season are closed. From March 10th to April 18th, 2009, under the Snow Goose Conservation Order, hunters will be able to pursue snow geese Monday through Saturday using unplugged shotguns and electronic calls. During this time, legal shooting hours have been extended from a half hour before sunrise to a half hour after sunset, and daily bag and possession limits have been removed." To avoid conflicts with the spring 2009 wild turkey season, snow goose hunting will be prohibited on public areas after April 10, 2009. Snow goose hunting also will be prohibited at Bombay Hook and Prime Hook National Wildlife Refuges during the conservation order. Okay, now, individuals interested in hunting snow geese after March 9th must obtain a free snow goose conservation order permit number by registering at www.dehip.com. That's www.dehip.com after February 1st, 2009. Okay, participants also will be required to have a valid Delaware hunting license, although Maryland licenses are acceptable, a 2008-2009 Delaware waterfowl stamp, and a Delaware Harvest Information Program, or HIP number. A federal waterfowl stamp is not required. Once registered, hunters are required to keep this number in their possession while hunting snow geese and to report their hunting activity and success to the Division of Fish and Wildlife by May 31st, 2009. So, what we have here, it seems to me, is that the United States Fish and Wildlife Service is trying to drastically reduce the number of snow geese along the Mid-Atlantic Flyway. And it sounds like a main reason for that is that the snow geese are really causing destruction to their breeding grounds in the Arctic, as well as some of the farm fields along their flyway. So, as it stands now, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems that the original snow goose season remains in effect, with the exception that through the snow goose season beginning January 28th through March 9th, hunters will be able to pursue snow geese using unplugged shotguns and using electronic calls, which is great. You know, I frequently use electronic calls for crows, and there's really nothing better. It sure does beat trying to blow some manual calls and sound like, you know, 1,000 geese. It's quite impossible, and electronic calls make that much more doable, I think. Now, it says, during that specific period, all other hunting regulations pertaining to shooting hours, hunting days, and bag limits remain unchanged. So, really, the only thing that changes is the use of unplugged shotguns and electronic calls are permitted only during the specified regular season and may be employed only when all other waterfowl seasons except snow geese are closed. Okay, so you don't want to get caught out there when it's not legal to have an unplugged gun. Okay, now, it seems like after that, which is from March 10th to April 18th, that's when you can pretty much hunt Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday using an unplugged shotgun and electronic calls. The legal shooting hours have been extended from a half hour before sunrise, which is good, to a half hour after sunset. I think typically the hunting ended at sunset, and there really is no bag or possession limit. So I really do think this is a good idea. And, you know, let's face it, these snow geese have been a nuisance for a while, and we've talked about several ways to try to bring the snow goose numbers down, but it gets rather burdensome to go out in the field with, you know, hundreds or some people even thousands, but hundreds of snow goose rag decoys and try to get set up in a field just to have them land in the field next to you, because we've all seen it where a flock or two of snow geese come in and all the others follow, and if you're not right there, you're sort of out of luck. Now, hopefully the use of these electronic callers will greatly increase your chances of success for harvesting snow geese. And the other thing is the unplugged gun is big, because now that you know, if you do have a bunch of decoys set up and you do have your caller working and the geese do come in, I mean, it will be good to try to take out as many as you can as quickly as possible with the shots that you have. So the unplugged gun should definitely help with that. And again, you know, I can't say I personally have, but I know people who have been out in the field hunting Canada geese or snow geese, and you get flocks come in, you pull the trigger one time, and more than one bird falls. So that is somewhat problematic. You don't want to run into any possession limit legal issues. But now that they're removing the possession limit for the snow geese, I mean, it can only have good effects. You know, if the federal and state governments really want these snow goose numbers down, this is the way to do it. Okay, let's take a break right now. I am Stephen Candace, and this is the Hunting the First State podcast. We will be back after these messages.
Do you know someone who loves the total experience of hunting? Maybe that person is on your gift list. Maybe it's you. Hunting the First State is a book filled with an amazing wealth of knowledge about hunting Delaware. Written by Delaware hunter Stephen M. Kendis, Hunting the First State gives you invaluable facts and practical tips, history, tactics, and locations associated with Delaware hunting. The perfect holiday gift. Hunting the First State is available at huntingthefirststate.com, online, and local booksellers, and at select Delaware hunting supply stores.
Hi, I am Stephen Kendis, and welcome back to the Hunting the First State podcast. Today we are talking about the new snow goose regulations in Delaware. So I'm really all for this new conservation order and the way that New Jersey and Delaware are implementing it. Now, I keep mentioning New Jersey. I want to make it clear that what I just read from my blog, which is eastcoasthunting.blogspot.com, That was verbatim. I read that verbatim from the Delaware press release. New Jersey issued a similar press release around the beginning of January, but I'm not sure exactly what those rules are. So I'm not telling anybody to go by my word on really New Jersey or Delaware rules, guidelines, and laws. Everybody should be smart enough to do the research themselves and to make sure they are legally covered and they abide by the rules there. So, you know, again, I see this as a very positive thing to bring the snow goose population down. Also, what myself and my friends and my fellow hunters, my hunting partners, Kurt Barkus and Paul Quigley, John Massey, John Antonio, what we normally do is, you know, when deer season's over, when duck and goose seasons are over, we're still not done hunting. We want to go out and do something. So usually in February and March, we go out and do a lot of crow hunting. And, you know, we get laughed at. People are like, oh, why are you hunting crows? What are you going to do with crows? And I always say that, one, I'm doing my part to help control West Nile virus. And two, it's great practice. You know, to me, it's much more useful to practice your shooting on live targets that don't follow a specified trajectory like a clay pigeon. So it's better to practice on live targets like crows. And again, the same thing holds true with these snow geese. So I think these snow goose hunts may take some time out of our crow hunting, but something tells me that snow goose breast tastes a lot better than crow breast. So we'll see how it pans out. Now, I do want to talk to a few people here on this first podcast for Hunting the First State. And I think my first guest will be John Antonio of Newcastle, Delaware. He is a good friend of mine and a fellow hunter. He is also a professional waterfowl guide. He's been guiding goose parties and duck parties in Delaware and most recently New Jersey for probably 20 years or more. So he's well qualified to discuss these new snow goose regulations, and I think it would be worthwhile to have a discussion with him. So bear with me. I will get him on a phone. He was supposed to call in here, so I'll see if he's on hold, and we'll speak to John and get his opinion on this.
Hey, John, are you there?
Yes, Steve.
All right, good. Thanks for calling into the Hunting the First State podcast. As you know, we are talking about the new snow goose hunting regulations that have recently passed. I guess the federal government originally put them out, and Delaware and the state of New Jersey adopted them as well. So, really, just give me your opinion or your assessment of these new regulations?
Well, I'm all for them. From an environmental standpoint, these geese are doing a lot of damage to both their breeding ground and their wintering ground here in Delmarva. And it's been talked about for quite some time, and politically, for some reason, they were slow to put these actions to use. And they say that the population is probably double what it should be. I think they're saying it's around 1.1 to 1.2 million, and a good sustainable flock should be about 500,000 birds.
Right, that's a big difference there. So do you think that these new regulations that have been put into effect, do you think they will make a significant dent in the population?
Yeah, I think it'll make somewhat of a dent and maybe allow them to slow the growth. I don't think that it'll be enough to bring the numbers substantially down. It's just that time of the year, you know, not a lot of people are hunting. People are doing other things. The weather starts to break. People want to fish, things of that sort. And those geese are not easy to hunt. You know, you've got to follow them around. You know, even with these new liberalized methods of taking them, you still have to be pretty close to where they want to be. And sometimes, you know, that's the hardest thing in snow goose hunting.
Right. And, I do think that part of the problem exists, or part of the problem is that these snow geese, you know, they're not the best table fare. So people aren't dying to go out and get a limit of snow geese so they can, you know, make some kind of special recipe for their Saturday night dinner. It's just not going to...
These geese, it's kind of a wives' tale there. With the snow geese that we originally had 30 years ago spent most of the time in the marsh, and they were very salty. You know, they tasted bad. These geese tend to roost in the salt water, but they go out and feed on corn most every day. So they do taste somewhat better, but they're still far from, you know...
filet mignon.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of something to compare it to, but yeah, they're not a highly sought-after table fare.
Okay. Now, it seems like there are some people who are on the fence about these regulations, and I know you and I have talked previously, and, in some ways this is a very good idea, and in some ways, you know, it may be somewhat of a problematic implementation of these new rules, because we know what happened, say, 15 and 20 years ago with the Canada goose regulations, where hunters went out and shot their limits of Canada geese, which were much higher than they are now, and then there was a moratorium on Canada goose hunting for a while because there were really no birds left. So do you think we could possibly run into a similar situation with over-harvesting these snow geese?
No, I don't. I think our federal wildlife people and the scientists that work there have this in check. And it seems to me that, you know, from the special permit that you have to have in New Jersey and special regulations that Delaware is putting forth in watching this hunt, I think they'll have a pretty close eye on it, and I think they'll know if and when we meet the number that we need to be at.
Good. Yeah, I think that's the case, too. Yeah. You know, I'm sort of on the fence about it. I mean, it seems like sort of a cheaper way to go out and hunt. And I'm saying cheaper not by not in terms of expenses, but in terms of it sort of makes things easier when you talk about an automatic caller and an unplugged gun and really an unlimited harvest limit. So, of course, that's contradictory, you know, an unlimited harvest limit, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, not the traditional manner, you know, and it's not what we all, it's not the reason, some of the reasons that we all go waterfowl hunting. You know, it does seem as though you're cheating a little bit, but I think it's something that has to be done.
Good. Now, you've hunted snow geese in the past, I assume, right?
Yes.
Okay, and then, how would you set up now, with these new regulations, how would you set up for these snow geese if you chose to hunt them over the next several months?
Well, in the past, what we've done is gathered every white thing that resembled a decoy that we could, you know, all different kinds, all different shapes. From what I'm reading about in the Midwest, where they've done this for quite some time, they're figuring out that, you know, a slightly smaller spread of better decoys is working out better. So I believe that's the way I'm going to try that this year. I'm going to try some better decoys, maybe 300 to 400, and a better quality decoy and a full body decoy.
So you say, you know, 300 to 400 good quality decoys, snow goose decoys. Now, in the past, I mean, you know, I've heard stories where people would come out and set up thousands upon thousands of decoys. So you think that's no longer the best way to do it?
No, I think that would work also, and that's the way we did it. But, you know, I think with the caller and the good calling and the realism to today's decoy is 50 times greater than anything we had when we were really targeting snow geese. So I think that with the better decoys and the caller, I think you could probably get away with a few less decoys.
Okay. Now, how would you arrange your spread with that smaller number of decoys?
Well, if you look at snow geese in the field, you know, when they're really concentrating on feeding, they almost seem like they're always in an oval shape, and the rear group will jump ahead of the next group. So I always kind of get like a teardrop shape and kind of tail it to your downwind side, kind of to direct them to your hunters. But it's kind of similar to your Canada goose spread.
Okay.
Some other arrangements that we use are kind of like a J-hook fashion that guys that do a lot of duck hunting and diver duck hunting use, the way you trail off down into the wind. I've used that successfully. And then another very successful rig has been like an X setup, where you kind of branch out in legs and the bulk of your decoy sits in the middle along with your hunters.
Okay.
And I was always a little cautious about putting our blinds or our hunters too close to the end of that rig, because it always seemed like they did a nice pass over it at 25 or 30 yards beforehand, and a lot of times you lost them on that pass. So I was never real tight to the back of the rig.
Right. Okay, now what about using calls for snow geese? How did you actually call those birds in, or did you even call them in?
Well, you know, we tried. I don't know how successful we were at it. A lone, single, young bird you can call in, and the best way to do it is just kind of answer him to what he's calling at you. You know, whatever he does, just repeat it.
Just with basic mouth calls?
Yeah, just with the basic, I forget, it's a commercially made call that we have. I believe it's Tim Grounds. I'm not sure. It is a Tim Grounds call that we found to be about the best. And, yeah, when he made a sound, we just kind of threw it back at him and hear him. Now, when we had a smaller group of 3, 4, 5, you know, we would all try to get on the horns and make a lot of noise. But I was never real convinced how effective that was.
Right, you know, think maybe just a sheer number of decoys drew their attention just as well as any calling.
Yeah, and the setup maybe, you know, the way the wind was blowing. And then when you had a large group of snow geese coming, you might as well forget it. They can't hear you anyway.
Right.
There's so much noise.
All right, so now with these new regulations, I mean, you know, you can use an automatic caller. So how effective do you think that's going to be?
Well, from the hunters in the Midwest have been doing this now, I believe, since 1999, and they've found that the caller brings them much greater success. And that kind of makes sense, because if you go back to the days of the market hunters and, you know, the fabled Chesapeake Bay outlaw gunners and all that, they all used those calls, and they claimed that there was nothing like it.
Right.
So, and then on top of all that, all this digitally remastered tape recordings of geese that you can get, I mean, it's just like having a flock of geese calling your geese.
Hey, you think if we set up a recorder now and recorded that sound, we have something like it's coming out of your house, what do you think we'd call in with that?
Can you hear that?
I can hear something. It sounds like you have screaming children there or something.
Yeah, it's a flock of children.
Yep, trust me, we all get that from time to time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so let's just, you know, we can wrap this up here. But, so, it seems like, you know, these new regulations, I think this will be the big test to see if the government can realize a big reduction in the number of snow geese. And, you know, I'm sort of on the fence about it, but I'm willing to try it, and I'll do my part to help control the population. And I guess part of the regulation is you have to register for a specific snow goose hip number or something, and that's how they're going to track the harvest. So it seems like, you know, the government, whether it be the state government or the federal government, has a pretty good plan for this, and let's just hope that it pans out. You know, they are giving some hunters opportunities rather than going up and, you know, shaking eggs or having, you know, some other culling method. So it does prolong the hunting season, which is always good. And, again, you know, we are doing something for the environment, so let's just hope that it pans out.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. You know, they have no other predators, so it's either us or they overpopulate, you know, more.
All right, good. Well, I appreciate your time calling in. You're actually our first guest on the Hunting the First Date podcast, so you have that great distinction. We'll have to get you a plaque for your wall.
Well, I'm honored.
Good. I appreciate it. All right, well, thanks for calling, and we'll be back right after these messages.
Okay, talk to you next time.
Are you out of work? Do you need a change of careers? Do you just want a good job? Well, if you want a good job, get a good resume. GoodResume.com is the locally owned professional resume writing service that will help you stand out from the crowd and land that perfect job. Don't trust your resume, the key to your future, to an unskilled resume writer. Instead, trust the skilled writers at GoodResume.com to create your custom attention-grabbing resume. Remember, if you want a good job, get a good resume at GoodResume.com.
Welcome back to the Hunting the First Date podcast. That about wraps it up for today, so I want to thank our sponsors, Hunting the First Date, A Guide to Delaware Hunting, and GoodResume.com. If you want a good job, get a good resume. Also, I want to thank our special guest today, John Antonio, and I want to invite each of you to tune in again. Hopefully, we'll have a monthly podcast. Some of the topics we plan to cover here in the not-too-distant future include trapping in Delaware, crow hunting, turkey hunting, and woodcock hunting. We'll see you next time.